Amen. Good morning. Good to see all of you here and those that are watching online. We had a wonderful first service. God did some amazing things. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we've been talking about how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, there's the old standbys, you know, that people talk about how to be led. And one of them is like circumstances. Well, you know, you'll notice on the little card I gave you that you're going to fill out in a few minutes, it's not going to be on the list. And you're going to say, you know, well, why isn't circumstances on the list? Well, let me give you this story, and hopefully that'll help you to understand why circumstances is not on the list. You know, when you were a little baby and you maybe had a stove or a fireplace that was hot, what did you do with that little baby concerning that stove? Did you go and try to explain to that baby, hey, baby, please, you know, the baby's 6, 7 months old, you know, don't go near the stove. You will get burned if you touch it. How'd that work out when you tried that, right? Doesn't work very well. So what'd you do? You put like a fence up or a gate up or you know, some barrier so that little baby couldn't touch the stove. Well, in a sense, that's how circumstances are for believers. Let me tell you this right from the get-go. If you are allowing the circumstances to be the Holy Spirit leading you, you're going to be misled many times. Because we are not to walk by sight. We're to walk by what? Faith. And so I am treating you as mature believers, that you're past the circumstance stage where God is, you know, putting little barriers up so that you don't go certain ways. That's not how God wants to function in your life. He wants to have a conversation with you, that you can understand and perceive what he's saying to you. He doesn't want to treat you like a little baby where he's putting those barriers up. He wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you. And that's the heart of God. And in fact, all these 7 different ways I'm going to talk about today of how God wants to lead you is out of personal relationship. In other words, not barriers he wants to put up in your life, but rather speaking to you on the inside. That's the heart of Jesus. He wants you to be able to walk with him just like Adam and Eve did in the garden before they fell into sin. That's God's ultimate heart. You know, not seeing God kind of through a fog or kind of hearing static on the radio thinking, oh, is that God or not? But to be able to speak and discern clearly what he is saying to you. Now, I'm going to give you these 7 different ways, and you're going to find that as we look at Scripture, they're all intertwined together at times. You know, I've kind of pulled them apart so you can see them separately, but often God leads us through a composite of many of these different things. But my hope is that maybe you may come to a realization today that God has been speaking to you and you didn't realize it. I guess that's really a big thing I want you to realize, that God is speaking to us today. There are some groups of Christians that don't believe that God speaks still today. They believe that God has given us the Bible, and that's the authoritative source, and whatever's in there we're to follow, but that God no longer speaks today because he's spoken and that's all he's got to say. But here's the deal. What about when I'm choosing who I should marry or what job I should get or you know, all the different things that go on in life? Isn't God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Didn't he speak to the apostles and individuals in the book of Acts after Jesus died on the cross and gave his Holy Spirit? And he answers, yes. He was speaking continually to them in all sorts of different ways, which we're going to see in a few minutes. And so God still wants to speak today out of personal relationship. Now, here's one of the dilemmas that you and I face at times in our lives. Not all of us had these perfect fathers in our life. They could have been fathers that did the best they could, or they could have been absentee fathers, or they could have been abusive fathers. You know, the list goes on and on. But rarely did any one of us have perfect fathers. There were flaws because they're human, just like we are. And so the problem is that until we come to a realization of who our Father is in heaven, we often compare what our relationship is with God to what we've experienced. So if we had an absentee father, often our spiritual walk with God is distant because that's how we experienced it here on this earth. Our own father, you know, was there, but not really there. And so sometimes we have this distance between us and our Father in heaven. That's not your Father in heaven. Your Father in heaven is not like your earthly father. He's one that sticketh closer than a brother. He's there for you day in and day out. He'll never abandon you as some fathers have. Right here in this room, there are people here that your father abandoned you. Your God in heaven will never leave you nor forsake you. He wants to just be there with you all of the time. And things like this in our lives hinder us in knowing that God wants to lead us just like I'm talking to you right now. that literally in a conversation, that he wants to walk and talk and be with you in fellowship on a daily basis. So my hope is, as we look at these seven different ways, that you can maybe ask the question, have I experienced one of these or any of these? And have I opened my heart to experience any of these things? I believe that God's been speaking more than we realize in our lives. We just didn't realize it at the time. So my hope is for you to help see that. So my hope is that the welcome people put on a big smile this morning, and that, well, you probably wouldn't have seen, I think they had their mask on, but they were smiling. I'll just tell you that they were, and handed you one of these blue cards. Have you got, everybody got one of these? Okay, a few people nodding. Okay, yeah, thank you, Mark, for showing me. I appreciate that. They did not hand you a pen. There should be a pen in the seat in front of you. There should be a pen available. And I encourage you, you might say, well, Pastor Carl, I came to church just to hear you preach. Great, you can do that. But here's the thing. Studies have proven over and over and over again that if you listen and write down points, you will retain more. You will get more out of it. So that's why we're doing this. For those that are watching online, I believe we provided a link for you so you can print it out if you'd like, so it's available for them as well. Okay, let's fill in our first blank and get moving here. All right, so our title is, you know, the how to let the Holy Spirit lead you in seven ways. Number one, and I believe this is the most important, the Word of God. All right, so that's the first little blank, the Word of God. And the scripture that goes with this, and we'll talk about this for a few moments, is Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Wow, a lot to say there, but I just want to make the point that the Word of God is still alive today. You know, the Bible very clearly says it was the Holy Spirit that wrote the Bible. You know, had men and women record what was going on, but it was the Holy Spirit that recorded it. And contained within the Bible, we have what's known as the Logos of the Word and the Rhema of the Word. Well, the Logos really is what God has said. In other words, there's a lot of history in there, a lot of different events that happen. And so we learn about the will and the ways of God, His character and His nature. And so it's so important for us to see that in the Bible. But more importantly, when we're being led by the Holy Spirit, He speaks to us by a Rhema word. And so if the Logos word is what God has said, the Rhema word is what God is saying now. And so that's, for example, you'll be reading your Bible, and all of a sudden a scripture, a part of a scripture, will jump off the page at you. How many people had that happen? Literally like slap you in the face almost, like, whoa, I never saw that before, or I just never perceived that. Well, that's God leading you by His Spirit. He's speaking to you through the Word of God. So let me say this to you, and I don't want to slap anybody in the face, but I'm going to say this. A closed Bible doesn't talk to you. Let me say that again. A closed Bible does not talk to you. You need to open it up. You need to allow it to speak to you, all right? Now listen, if you're doing devotionals, devotionals are great. They normally have a little scripture verse in there. It's better than nothing. But listen to me. If you're living your life on devotionals, come on. That's like eating leftovers at a restaurant, all right? You know, you're somebody else has eaten it and kind of spit it back out and saying, okay, here you go, here's some things for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm not putting down devotionals. But I'm saying that you as a believer in Christ should be eating the Word for yourself, should be hearing from the Lord for yourself and determining what God is saying to you. So again, a closed Bible doesn't talk, okay? So open up the Word of God. You might say, well, I don't understand it. It's confusing. It, you know, and you go on and on about that. Listen to me. Don't start in the book of Genesis. Because the time you get to Deuteronomy, it's this guy begot that guy who begot that guy who begot that guy. And you're like, this is killing me. All right. Start in the New Testament, right in Matthew, all right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Great accounts, four different viewpoints of how Jesus walked on the earth. And then from there, you go into the book of Acts, which talks about the Acts of the Apostles, what God did after Jesus went to the cross. And then you got the epistles, and that sounds like a weird word, right? But it's just letters. That's what the word epistle means. And so basically, those are the apostles interpreting and telling you and helping you understand what happened in the Gospels and what happened in the book of Acts. I encourage you, stay in the New Testament until you become comfortable. And then you can go back into the old if you want and read some things there. But don't get bogged down by the old. We're what? New Testament believers, all right? So let's walk in the New Testament. The Old Testament's historical, helps us learn a lot of things about the character and nature of God. But if you're going to read anything, start in the New Testament. Amen? Everyone good with that? Because we want to start like we read a book, right? You always want to start page one. Well, in this case, picture the Bible as two books, Old Testament, New Testament. Start in the New Testament. Amen. Okay, so one other point, if you're writing this down, not only do you read the Bible, and this is actually pretty, this is, the Lord said this to me a couple of years ago. He said, you read the Bible, but it reads you. And that's really what the scripture's talking about that we had up there, that it's a discerner of the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. As you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you through His Word, you're not just reading it, it's reading you. In other words, if your attitude, your heart's not right, the Word of God will show you that. That's why some believers are like, nope, I'm not going to read this, because God starts to speak to you. But here's the thing, He's not trying to hurt you. I know we live in a world now where you have to be, you know, politically correct, and you're not supposed to correct people and tell them they're wrong. And here's the thing. Jesus is not afraid to tell you what's right and what's wrong. So stop being offended by Jesus, all right? You know what I'm saying? He gave His life for you. You know, He went as low as He could go to give His life for you. Do not allow an offense between you and Him to hinder you from being led by the Spirit of God. When He corrects you, it's for your good. You might say, but God, you're a killjoy. I want to do this now. Here's the thing. When God says no, He has eternity in mind. And so He knows what's best for you now and all the way into eternity. So let's go God's way. Let's go God's way. All right. So the first one, you know, the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12. All right. The second point is the inner witness or knowing. Now, I'll explain this to you through the two scriptures we're going to look up. In fact, they're both going to show up here. And so here's what this means. So the inner witness or knowing, Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And then Romans 9, 1. I tell you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. And so this is the Apostle Paul speaking in the book of Romans. He's writing to the Romans. And he says, the Spirit, capital S. So that's referring to the Holy Spirit. And he says, bears witness with our spirit, small s. That's our spirit on the inside. When you become born again, your spirit becomes alive, small s. And the Holy Spirit comes and lives with your spirit. And that's what he's talking about, that we are what? Children of God. And then it goes on, Romans 9, 1, I tell you the truth, I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the spirit. So again, he's talking about the conscience, and really that's the small s, all right? That's your spirit, and that there's a connectiveness with that. So we need to define a word here, and it's the word witness. What does that mean, bears witness? Well, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. There's another place in the New Testament where most of you have heard this scripture, and it's in Acts 1:8. And Jesus Himself says this, stay here in Jerusalem till you be endued with power, and you will be witnesses, right, to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the earth. And so how many people heard that scripture before? And that word witness actually means to be a martyr. It means self-sacrificing. It means you're going to give up everything to do what God's asking you to do. Well, this word witness here is not that same word. In fact, it's completely different. It's a compound word, and it's a Greek word that's like about this long, okay? So I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. But here's what it means. It means to jointly testify. That's literally what it means in the original language. So let me give you an example. So here we are. I'm not going to play a song, or I'm not going to do anything weird, all right? So here's middle C right here, okay? So here's a lower one. So what do you hear here? What are you hearing? You're hearing two C's, aren't you? Now what if I do this? How's that sound? Sounds horrible, doesn't it? Here, back to this. So there's a resonance. In other words, even though it's in a different place on the keyboard, when I play the two C's, they harmonize. There's a resonance. And so literally, that's what, put the scripture back up if you can. That's literally what this scripture is talking about, an inner witness where your spirit, small s, your conscience, bears witness to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. You're having like this aha moment. You're like, God's saying this, and I was just thinking about this. And you're in agreement with it. You are jointly testifying that it is the truth. And here's the thing, you can obviously have times where the Holy Spirit's saying something and you don't feel that way or you don't have that sense, right? Well, then you are not, it's not bearing witness to you. And this is a really important way or method that God leads us, is that when he speaks, we on the inside, we're like, yes, yes, that is the Spirit of God. And what? You're jointly testifying. Your conscience, your small s spirit is saying, yes, that is God. And the Holy Spirit is saying, yes, it is. And you have that peace, you know, that peace of God that passes all understanding. This is a very important way that God leads us. And sometimes he's using words with this inner witness. In other words, God says something to you and your spirit, you've been thinking about this, and there's a comparison that's the same. Other times it's just a feeling to go in a certain direction. You just have this sense, this is okay to do this. All right, so again, at all different levels. Okay, so we talked about, you know, the Word of God, the inner witness, you know, that whole idea of testifying jointly. Okay, the third one, leadings. Romans 8, verse 14 says this, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. In John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so here we have Scripture that talks about the fact that as children of God, what does it say? We are led, right? It's important for us to realize that you are a child of God if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And as a child of God, it says we will be led by the Spirit. In other words, it's available for us. The question is, are we open to that leading of the Spirit? And Jesus then himself says this in John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And so not only is this sometimes feelings and emotions, in other words, God drawing you to do something or leading you to do something, but literally, he wants to speak to you. He wants to use words that we understand. Just as you and I are talking now, this is how God wants to speak to you. Now, here's the deal, though. It is so hard sometimes to discern whether it's our voice or God's voice. How many people have had trouble over the years with that? My hands are up. It's hard sometimes. And so let me tell a story of what happened to me just recently to maybe show a way that you can help sort it all out. And so about 5 years ago, I bought this pretty expensive tool. It's about $200 for this tool. I only use it maybe once or twice a year at the most. And so over the last year or so, I'd lent it out to a couple of different people. And so the day came this last week where I needed this tool. So I couldn't find it. I took hours searching everywhere, all through the house and out in the garage. Could not find it. You know, things about as big as a book. Could not find it for the life of me. And so I'm thinking, oh man, I don't want to buy this tool again. I already had it at $200. I hate waste. And I know what's going to happen. I'll buy a new one, and a week later, I'll find the other one. How many people had that happen? So now you got two of them, right? And I just didn't want to, you know, waste what God has given me in resources. And so I texted all the people that I thought I'd lent it to over the last couple of years, and they're like, yeah, you lent it to us, but I'm sure I gave it back. And I thanked them, and, you know, you always kind of have that question mark, you know, did they or not? But you want to believe, because they said they did. So, you know, because I said I don't want to be searching for a ghost if it's really not here. So I looked again for a bunch of hours, could not find it, so frustrated. So here's what I do, what I've started to do the last 10, 15 years. When I'm in a place like that, I put it aside. I literally put it out of my mind. Because you know what I found? If I keep dwelling on it, I'll go crazy. Any crazy people here? You know what I'm saying? Don't put your hand up. You know what I'm saying? Where after a while, it's just like, you become so fixated on it. So I just put it out of my mind. So a couple days later, I come to the church early, right here in the sanctuary, and I'm walking around and praying about a couple other circumstances, a couple other things I'm praying about, lifting up to the Lord. And the Lord began to speak to me about those things. So he's, you know, giving me, and I knew it was the Lord speaking, you know, to my heart about this. And then all of a sudden he said, oh, by the way, that tool you're looking for, it's in your wife's car, in the trunk, underneath the recycle bags on the left-hand side. And I'm like, wow. I went home at lunch. Guess where that tool was? Exactly where God said it was. And the thing is, that's how I'm able to discern the difference. If I'm thinking about it, fixated on it, it's very hard for me to figure out, is that God? Is that me? And it doesn't necessarily mean that things that come to your own mind are wrong. You know what I'm saying? You could have thought, you know, I could have thought, oh, that's where it is and gone to find it. But I was beyond that. I needed to hear from God. So for me to put it aside is the best way. And then when God brings it up, I know it's not my spirit, small s, but the Holy Spirit bringing to remembrance. Does that make sense to everybody? You know, in other words, when something's going on in your life and you desperately need to hear from God, carry on living life. In other words, don't let it be like this block where you just stopped and until God, until you speak, until I am not moving forward. Come on. If that was like eating, right? Like imagine if you said, well, unless I get this exact food, I'm not going to eat again. We'd probably die. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. You know, just lay it aside, carry on with life. And I find that often God kind of comes alongside and then he can speak. Amen? Okay. So, leadings, really important. And the key is that it truly is an act of faith to trust that God is speaking. I have this question at the bottom after all seven, and I ask this question, how do we know if it's really the Holy Spirit speaking? Because there are some people that are truly afraid of everything that I'm talking about here. They're like, well, what if it's not God? What if it's a voice telling me to do something? Well, here's the thing. That's why you have your Bible open and it's speaking to you daily. Because you will never, the Holy Spirit will never ask you to do anything contrary to his word. All right? He also will never have you do things that it's all about you. You know, when God's speaking to you, it's to help you, but it's to help you to live life and help others. You know, again, sometimes we get so centered, it's all about me. When the Holy Spirit's speaking, it's all about him. You get what I'm saying? Now, he loves you, and God wants to use you, and he wants to bless you, but you've got to get beyond that. If you really want to hear from God a lot, you begin to pray for those around you. You begin to get outside of yourself and begin to see what God wants to do in the world around you. And let me tell you something. He'll speak volumes. It'd be like you can't shut him up. You know what I'm saying? Literally. Like, God, please. You know, it'd just overwhelm you with amazing things for you to be able to reach out and touch those around you. And so God speaks for the sake of others and as well to bless you through it. Okay, so let's go on. Okay, number four. Check in your spirit. How many people have played red light, green light? Maybe as a kid. I know at camp we do this every year. All right, and you know, and the person yells, you know, green light, and you hurry, and then red light, and you skid to a stop, and if you're still moving, you're out. Well, listen to me. If you make a mistake in God with red light, green light, it's not that you're out, but you may miss out on what God has for you. So this whole check in the spirit really is a red light. That's God saying, don't do it. And there's a reason that it's so not subtle. It's like, because it could be that it's in danger. Another example would be you're at an intersection, there's a big truck coming, and you don't see it, and you're just, you know, lollygagging across the road, and the truck's not seeing you either. What's going to happen to you unless you stop? You're going to get squashed, all right? And literally, when God gives you a check in your spirit, it's usually at that moment for whatever's in front of you, stop! Don't do that! Somebody's going to get hurt. Maybe you or someone else. And so that's a check in your spirit. And where is that? That's down in here somewhere. You know, it's above your stomach and before your brain. It's right in here somewhere, in your heart area. For some people, you just literally feel sick kind of on the inside. Other people, you just feel, you know, just... you just have this sense of things aren't right. You know, again, it's different for everyone, but it's still a check to stop what you're doing. All right, and that doesn't mean it's the end of it. You then can say, well, Lord, what's wrong? And then you can begin through the leadings and inner witness of the Holy Spirit. You can begin to speak and give you details. But sometimes that check is to save you from certain harm at that moment in time. Let's look at Scripture. Acts 16, verses 6 to 8. Reading from the NIV. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Then they came to the border of Mysia, and they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Then they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. So here's the Apostle Paul out doing God's work, right? He's out preaching everywhere, and he's like, hey, let's go on down here. And it says the Holy Spirit prevented him or kept him from going. And literally, that's what I'm talking about with this check in the Spirit. Now, we don't know why. You might say, well, you know, what's the problem? He's there, wants to go do God's will. Who knows? Maybe it was the timing of it. Maybe someone else was to go there instead of Paul. Maybe there was certain danger that was going to happen. I don't know, but all we know is that the Holy Spirit kept him or put a check in his heart about going. And you need to allow that to be a part of your life. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I've known the Lord 35 years, and over the years, I've had lots of checks in my spirit, and there's been a number of times, more times than I can count, that I didn't listen. Now, let me tell you, it went badly. Okay, you know, it went bad. So my advice to you, when you have the check in the spirit, what are you to do? Stop! Don't do it, all right? You know, I think of younger days, some of the different things I did and said, and I just wish I could take all those things back. I had that check in my spirit. There are others here that maybe in the area of relationships or those watching online, that if you had heeded that check, That warning from God, that red stoplight, it could have saved you a whole bunch of grief that is still with you today as a result of that wrong decision. So here's the thing, it's never too late to learn. So when you have that red light, that check in your spirit, stop. Because listen, God's not a killjoy. You know, you may be thinking, hey, this would be fun, this would be pleasurable for the moment. But let me tell you, long term, God knows what's best for you. And there's a joy that's much deeper than the pleasures of this life that you and I want to follow as believers. In fact, that in itself is supposed to be the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. An unbeliever just lives for today, just lives for the pleasures of the day with no real regard for long term. Whereas we as believers in Christ are to live for eternity. And that should cause us to think differently with every single decision that we make. And those checks in our spirit that God gives is for our safety and our blessing in the long term. Amen. Okay, so we talked about the Word of God, the inner witness, leadings, checking your spirit. Okay, number five. Now, number five, six, and seven, we're going to see some scriptures where they're all kind of connected together, all right? So let's just go with this. Number five, visions. And so we're going to look at Acts 16, verses 9 to 10. In fact, right where we were, we're just going to read on. Remember, Paul was kept by the Holy Spirit. So now what does God do? So during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So again, that's visions, and there's two kinds of visions. Open and closed. We'll talk about that in a minute. But as you look at this scripture, it says Paul had a vision. So before that, he was kept from going to different places. And I can tell you exactly what he did. He started to pray in the night. And he's saying, God, well, if these are blocked, where are we supposed to go? And he receives this vision from God of this man from Macedonia begging, please come and help us. And what I love about this, it says Paul concluded. After seeing the vision, he concluded that God had called us to preach. You know, I want you to understand that as a Christian doesn't mean you're brain dead. You know, it says he concluded. He came to a conclusion. In other words, he saw this vision, saw this thing from God, and he came to the conclusion. In other words, he reasoned within his mind, I see now, I guess, God's calling me to do this. And that's, you know, where the saying comes, when God closes the door, he opens a window. You know, the idea is that if one thing is stopped, then God will give you something else. And so here's the Apostle Paul realizing that God is speaking to him. So here's the thing. What is a vision? Well, there's open and closed vision. Okay, so let's go with the open one first. The open one, in a sense, is like you're here, you're watching the screen right now. Those at home are watching the screen. In other words, literally, an open vision is where you're seeing this panoramic thing of either pictures or like a video running, and that is God showing you something, all right? So that's like an open vision. So you're standing there, and with your eyes, your natural eyes, you're seeing this thing, all right? A closed vision is you're seeing it inside of your head. In other words, your natural eyes, or your eyes could even be closed, and you're seeing either a picture or seeing a you know, like a video going on the inside. So that's the difference between the two. And neither one is better than the other. It's just God speaks and does things in different ways. In fact, as we look at these seven different things, God at various times can speak to you through any or all of these things. But don't think that one's necessarily better than the other. It's just, hey, how many people just want to hear from God? Okay, you get what I'm saying? So whether he wants to give you, you know, leadings, he wants to, you know, speak through the word, he wants to, you know, however he wants to speak, let's just be open to let him speak, all right? That's why we're talking about this today, so you can see the various ways. And in fact, I dare say some of you have heard from God and didn't even realize it. You know, here we are, for example, we talked about that check in your spirit, and you maybe never heard anybody talk about it, but you've been involved in a situation, you were going to say something or do something, and you just felt sick on the inside. And you just didn't know that was God. Got news for you. God spoke to you. And so that's a good thing. And thank him for it. I believe in times we're just ignorant and God has spoken. I think he's always speaking. I'll be quite honest with you. It's just the question is, are we listening? That's really the question of the day, right? Okay. So visions. Okay. So let's move on now. And this is dreams. And there is a bit of a difference. So let's look at Acts 2, verse 17. Now, just to give you a little background, the church has just been birthed. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. And Peter makes this statement in verse 16, which you're not going to see. But he says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In other words, he's quoting from the Old Testament what God was doing at that moment, which for us was 2,000 years ago. And oh, by the way, he's still doing it today. All right, so verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, which are now, all right, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So here you can see visions and prophecy and dreams all kind of mixed together. And we'll talk about some of those after. We already talked about visions. But I want to talk to you about dreams. So what is a dream? And how do you compare a dream to a vision? All right. They're exactly the same except for a dream is at night and your eyes are closed. You're sleeping, all right? You might say, well, hold it then. Paul had a dream because it says at night he had a vision. Didn't say he was sleeping. If I was Paul and I'd just been forbidden to go to two different places, do you think I'd get much sleep? He was awake praying and God gave him the vision. So what we're talking about here now is people receiving a word from the Lord while they're sleeping. Why would God on earth do that? Why wouldn't he? Well, God speaks to me often through dreams. Often he'll speak to me just as I'm in that waking time in the morning. And one day I said to the Lord, why do you do that? Why don't you just tell me stuff? You know what he said? He said, your brain gets in the way. That's what God said to me. I was offended. I'm just going to tell you, I was offended. But I said, and the Lord said, don't get offended. You know it's true. I'm like, yeah, I know. So the point is, God sometimes, to circumvent your brain, because it's sleeping at a lower level of consciousness, will in the night give you a dream. And does that mean every dream you have? Please, no. All right? How many people have one of those crazy kind of dreams? You know, right. All right. I'm talking about the kind that you know was the Spirit of God. And let me tell you, most of the dreams that God gives me, I can't speak for everyone else, when it's of God, it's pretty short, it's succinct, it's clear, concise, all of it doesn't go on and on and on. That's your brain doing the dream thing. When it's God, he comes in, says what he needs to say, makes it clear and concise. And my advice to you is the moment you finish that dream, wake up and write it down. You will forget the details. Again, remember your brain's half awake only. But when you, right then, record it down. Or I know what I've done in the past, I have like a, most smartphones got like a record function. And I'll just hit that because sometimes I'm like half asleep still and I don't can't find my pen. And I'll just say, hey, this is what the dream was. And I'll just say it. And then later I'll write it down. But the point is, God speaks to you that way and can speak to you that way. How many people have had a dream of some sort and they believe that God was in it? Got a few hands up. Yeah, it looks like about half of you. And so, again, be open to that. Don't be necessarily looking for it, but just open to it. So when it happens, you're like, God, are you speaking to me this way? Now, let me just stop here for a minute. How do we know any of this is God? In other words, look, here I am talking about dreams and visions. We're going to talk about prophecy in a few minutes. How do we know what is God, what isn't God? Well, here's the thing. You'll know it by its fruit. See, one of the issues that we often want to do is, okay, God speak to me about the big things, right? You know, the major deals of life. Here's the deal. If you haven't practiced, if you haven't been faithful in the little things, I think it's dangerous to try to just hear from God for the big stuff. Let's just, on every day in our daily walk with the Lord, let him speak to us. So you can begin to learn what the sound of the shepherd's voice is to you. Because it's different to each and every one of us. And so we need to be open to the little things. So when the big deals come along, we know that it's God. But what you need to do is keep tabs. You know, you feel God's leaning you to do something. And you have an inner witness. And you do it. And the whole thing is a colossal flop. Then you need to go back and say, Lord, I don't think that was you. What voice was that? Was it me? Was it the enemy? You know, what was that? You need to begin to do this in the small things. So that when the big things come along, you know the voice of your shepherd. You know the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you'll be blessed through obedience because there's always good fruit. Let me tell you something. I've yet to have God tell me something, and then I do it. The whole thing's a mess, and the Lord comes back and says, oh, man, I forgot that other thing was going to happen. The whole thing would be messed. Oh, I'll get it right next time. You know, I've never had him ever do that, right? Because God doesn't make mistakes. We make mistakes, but he doesn't. If you've heard a word from the Lord, you can trust that it is a word from the Lord. But you need to practice. You need to get a sense of God speaking to you. Amen. Okay, the last one. Prophecies. And we're just going to read verse 18 of Acts 2. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I love this scripture for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's talking about men servants and maid servants. So God doesn't care whether you're male or female. And when he talks about men servants, maid servants, that's the lowest people on the rung. In other words, they were the lowest of the lowest people. And God says, even they will prophesy. You know what that means? That all of us have the ability to be a foreteller of God's word, to be able to proclaim his truths and make him known to the world around us. And also be encouraged ourselves. Because there are times where God speaks through us that we don't know what we're saying, but God does. I was in the DR a couple weeks ago, and I had an opportunity to speak in a church. And the pastor said, hey, look, if anybody needs prayer, you know, Pastor Carl wants to pray for them. I said, oh, I do? Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, some people came up, and I'm praying for them. And here's the thing. The Lord just gave me certain words. I said, here's what God's saying. You know, and I was succinct, just didn't go on and on, just made it clear, you know, and it was done. And a lady came up to me after, one of the elders, and says, you have no idea. You know, this person, you know, you spoke about this, and this is exactly what's going on. Three or four times she said that. And he said, how did you know? And I said, I don't know nothing. I know Jesus knows everything. And all I did was just speak as the Lord enabled me to prophesy over their life. Here's the thing. I'm nobody special. I'm just one of those servants. Any servants here? You're all servants of the Lord. In other words, these leadings are all available for you. And the thing is, though, if we're not taking steps of faith to practice them, then you're not going to experience them. Amen.